Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. My name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with Dylan Fairman.
Hello.
Now, I want to thank everyone who tuned into our last episode. We got 20 views on YouTube and 20 views on Spotify,
dude, which is... that's so many more views than I'm getting. Like, video-wise, that's awesome.
You know, for something that was our first attempt,
right?
It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much, everyone who listened and commented and gave us our feedback. We appreciate all of it. Actually, one of the biggest pieces of feedback we got from last week, month's episode.
Was Dylan stop saying fuck?
That was one of them, yes.
Okay. But, duly noted. Thank you.
But also that people want to hear more of Dylan. They like Dylan a lot.
Wow, contradicting things. Talk more, but don't say fuck. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Is this one spooky?
Oh, yeah.
Happy Halloween.
It's getting kind of cold out, you know?
Yes.
Now, as you know, I was in Yukon last month.
Right.
And it was cold there already. How far up north have you ever been?
Have you heard of Saskatoon?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Edmonton, probably.
Okay, yeah, I guess it is a little bit higher than Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our story takes place far up north in the Northwest Territories.
Wow.
So we're jumping around the country this time from beautiful British Columbia up to the tundra, pretty much.
Polar bear house.
Yes, exactly. So the story actually goes back to pre-Columbian days, and it kind of goes through the decades, centuries since. So I don't know exactly when this event occurred, because it was passed on via oral tradition by the First Nations people, so I don't know the date.
Oh, okay.
Right. But the story goes that a tribe of Dene First Nations set up the base of this mountain range, and one of the hunters in the tribe left to go get some meat or go get some berries or something, right? So he ventured out, and I don't know how long he was gone for, a day or so, and when he returned... And, like, the Dene, they live in, they moved around in pretty large groups, a couple hundred, right?
Okay.
And when he returned, usually the camp would be full of activity, there'd be fires going, it's Northwest Territories, so you want fires going, you want people moving around, people talking, dancing, singing, but it was quiet. So he went to his tent and opened it up, and what he saw was everyone he loved and lived with was dead.
Oh.
They were decapitated.
Fuck.
The entire... village, every person was decapitated.
And you're saying there's hundreds?
Yes, everybody in the tribe was decapitated. So he left, and the Dene, it was a group, large group of people. They didn't all live together, right? And so he went to another community and told the story. And he knew that, like, he had traveled a ways, but that there was no one around them. There was nobody to the north. There was no one to the east. No one to the south. But there were the mountains to the west. And he believes whoever did this to the people came from the mountains. Now, there's a story that there are people, a First Nations tribe living in the mountains called the Naha, and that they lived there 10,000 years, one of the first kind of settlements in the New World. But what we know about them is very little. So now we're going to go through time, because I don't know when that event took place. I don't know if Columbus had already arrived and the New World already met with the Old World. I don't know when that happens in time scale, but the story then picks up following the Klondike Gold Rush.
Columbus was an asshole, right?
Yeah, they were all. Yeah, but Columbus was bad.
He was like a particularly asshole.
Yes.
Okay.
But he didn't touch North America.
Right.
He didn't touch Canada. He touched more like the Caribbean area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We were kind of settled at first kind of by like the French and the Dutch, just kind of setting up fishing posts.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of the kind of initial thing was down in the Caribbean area and then alongside the United States, where they made like the big cities like Philadelphia and
right,
New Amsterdam and Washington and all that. And then kind of came up through the St. Lawrence. So it took them a while before they came to Canada.
Nuts.
Because it's cold here, right?
Yeah, they're like, we're running out of space in the U.S. Maybe let's try that north place. God.
So I don't know how long after this event with the Dene and the Naha occurred, but... something would occur during the Klondike Gold Rush. So during the Gold Rush, there was a couple different ways for people to get up from Canada and the United States up into the Klondike. So just to help with geography here, the Gold Rush occurred in the Klondike, which is in the Yukon, kind of close to the Alaska border.
Okay.
So there's a lot of mountains and it's hard, difficult terrain. There is the Yukon River that kind of goes up through it, but there's parts of it which are very dangerous, such as the White Horse Rapids and Miles Canyon. So they had different routes to try and get into the Klondike that wasn't as dangerous. Some went up along the coast through Alaska and down. Some went over the mountains from Alberta and up. Some went kind of more around. And there was boats, because we're talking like 10, 12,000 people just migrated to the Klondike in the course of about 3 years. I think it's even more than that. But so there was another route that was a shortcut through the valley of the Naha.
Shortcuts.
And they said that about 770 people decided to take this shortcut through the valley to get to the Klondike. And that 5 made it to the other side.
Were the other ones lose their heads?
The other ones didn't come out. We don't know what happened to them.
They probably lost their heads, Kevin. Yes.
But the ones that did make it through, they talked about this valley they found where there's this pools and ponds of water, of like springs. That's what it is, springs. And they kept the area so warm and humid that even in the winter, things were still green and growing. And because it was so warm and all year round, the animals there, they said they were so fat, they were square. So it was this beautiful, lush, Eden-like place in the middle of the Northwest Territories. Everyone was going to the Klondike for gold, but they said that they also found gold there in this valley. They never said what happened to the 770 other people that didn't make it through the valley, but that it was this beautiful type place. So as the gold rush kind of came to an end, and it realized it was a bit of a farce. Like, yeah, there was gold in the Klondike, certainly. But by the time the average Joe Blow got up there, corporations had moved in, big mining operations had begun, land had been sold by the millions, and that any individual, they had like a patch of land to hopefully make some money on.
Mm.
So it was like some people got rich, right? But it was really like a gamble. If anyone got rich, it was off other people's struggles, right? Like everything else in the world.
Like crypto.
Yes, exactly like crypto. Yeah, yeah. That's why I was saying it's like the modern gold rush. Yeah. So after this, there was a lot of discussions about, well, if there is gold in the Klondike in this mountain range, why can't there be gold in this other mountain range, in this valley that people were taking on the way here? And that makes sense because the two mountain ranges aren't that far apart. They're just on like opposite sides of the Yukon. The Naha one is more into North of Stars, but just across the border. So it's not that far away. So in 1904, two brothers decided to go into the valley to see if they can find this gold, if there's any gold. So they went in 1904, set up a cabin and set up a mine, and they came out in 1905 with bags of gold. They had found all the riches they had thought they could.
Bags.
Bags of gold.
Were the bags already there, or did they put the gold in their own bags?
They came with the bags, put the gold in the bags.
Oh, okay. Because that would be really weird if there was bags of gold there.
Sitting there.
Already bagged for them.
Yeah. Even more weird if it was like manufactured gold and not just gold nuggets. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Pressed.
Yeah. Yeah. They came back with all this gold. And anytime I get a lot of money, I spend it like really fast.
Nice.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good trait to have.
It's not. It's really not. But these people were like me. And, they went through their gold really fast. So by 1908, they needed more gold. Like three years, right? So they went back into the valley, went back to their camp. They never came out. So their brother, concerned for their well-being, made a search party and thought, you know what? Let's go see what's going on, where my brothers are. Maybe they're just living their best life out in this valley, right? Right?
Maybe.
Maybe. So the search party goes out. Remember, this valley and these mountains, you can't get there by road. Even today, there's no roads. You have to hike in, you have to fly in, you have to take the boat into it. So they get into this valley, and they find a very grisly scene. It's been a couple years now since these guys went in there.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, they found by the river. He was reaching for his gun. What was left of him? It was just a skeleton enclosed by this point.
And his head was gone?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I called it. Oh! Okay.
So they found the other one. Looked like he had just kind of jumped out of his bed. The blankets were kind of thrown apart, and he was going for something, and again, his head was cut off. So they named this valley, finally gave it a name, the Valley of the Headless Men.
Cool. Is this an actual place now? Like, can people take you there now and say this is the Valley of the Headless Men?
Yes.
Did you go there?
No.
Okay.
So this...
Because you look pretty good for just gone.
No.
Okay.
I didn't go there. This valley is now part of Nahanni National Park.
Okay.
One of the largest national parks in Canada, if not the biggest.
Okay.
And they say to this day, it's not even fully explored.
Cool.
Okay, this is larger than some countries of Europe. It's just this massive park up north. And I think it was in 1927, I want to put that as a date, he decided that because they haven't really mapped out this park, he was going to jump out of an airplane, parachute to the park, and onto a raft or something, and go out, because there was a river that went through the park.
Right.
So he jumped off this parachute, and he flew through the park, and he couldn't take pictures, right, because of the time, but he made note of what he saw, and he said that in these mountains, there were a lot of holes, almost like tunnels, burrowing through the mountains. Something you don't usually see in nature, right? So the Nay, they have a story that inside these mountains, along with the Naha, are these giants who cook goats in these pools of water.
Okay.
And there's thought that maybe these giants, or whatever they might have been, caused these holes in the mountains. There was a lot of giant animals in the north back in the day, like 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago.
Saber-toothed tigers.
Yes, they were there. Same with the woolly mammoth, the Jefferson's ground sloth, giant ground sloth.
What about woolly rhinoceros?
I don't think there's any rhinos.
I thought there was. I played Zoo Tycoon.
Maybe. There might have been a rhino-type animal.
I have to look that up now.
But they also had giant beavers. Like, dude. 6 feet long beavers.
Dude.
So, like, there were giant animals in that time, and there was lots of tales of them. So to have giant people kind of went along the same vein, right?
So much aspirin. Did you know beaver testicles you could use for aspirin?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, imagine how much aspirin you could have had back then. Headaches, beware. The mega beavers are here. That might be bullshit, but I'm pretty sure that's what I learned. School.
So I realized that I missed a story between two brothers that went in and then the guy who parachuted in.
Okay.
I missed a story there. So there was another gentleman, an aspiring engineer. He heard the same stories of the gold, and he also went into the park to make it happen, to try and get rich off the gold. But he had the same fate. In 1917, his head was cut off.
What position was he in?
Laying down. That was when they found him.
It wasn't like reading a book?
I believe it was actually outside of his cabin that had been burnt down. So there was a thought that there was some kind of murderer or creature or something in the park that was killing these people. I mean, you've lost now three men, not including the 700 some that didn't make it through the park before, dude, the Klondike.
Right.
Plus the Dene who lost all their people.
Right.
And this cycle kept happening. People would go to the park and they would be found dead, decapitated. And the RCMP were aware of this, but like, what can you do? Who do you go after? Like, you can't just, you know, wait for these people to come out, and right? It's a difficult situation. So one event happened. There were these two men, and they decided to go hiking in the park. And they started at different points because you have to hike into it, right? So they had a deal. When you get to a certain point in the park, they're going to mark a tree, and that would tell the other one that they were there already.
Oh, so they both started at different points and were going to meet each other?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's what people do. They, you know?
No, go together. Guess what? You don't. Well, they'll probably still lose their head.
The one gentleman gets to the point. There's no mark on the tree, so he leaves his own mark.
So he leaves his head.
And he spends a couple days there. His buddy doesn't show up, so he carries on up the hike some more. And then comes down a couple days later, and there's still no mark on that tree. So he sets up camp, decides to spend the night. Now the story says he's woken up by a couple indigenous First Nations men. And I don't know if these men were with him or they just happened to be in the park.
Just walk by. Hey. Hey. Hey, wake up.
Exactly. They woke him up because they said there was a pale figure on the other side of the river. Now, they know how to say white man pretty good because they don't like us.
Yeah.
So if it was a white guy over there, they would just say it's a white guy, not a pale figure. Because that doesn't sound normal, and it's not a reason to wake someone up if it's just another white guy, right? Like, hey, wake up, one of your brothers are over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is worth waking him up for and staying with him through the night before the next day they all left the park.
Hmm.
So there are some stories about things in the park. You know, there's been tales have been kind of gone around over the years.
Wait, but what happened to the guy's friend?
He never showed up.
But did he ever find him again?
No.
He's just gone.
Yeah. A lot of people go missing in this park. Never to be found again.
Yeah, I'm never going to the forest.
So there's two kind of mythologies about what is happening in this park. One is that it is a like a cross between a wolf and a bear.
A bear.
I know. When I read that, I'm like, of course it's a bear.
Yeah.
After last time.
It's a bear.
It's always a bear.
If when in doubt, it's a bear. A head chopping bear.
Yeah, which is like, I remember growing up reading like Ripley's Believe It or Not, and there was this story of a bear that only ate the heads off of fish.
Interesting.
Another bear that only ate the bodies of the fish. And they had this really cool like little picture of this bear eating a fish and then tossing the body to the other fish. Other bear.
Now, what if a Kodiak bear just shoving the whole person's head in their mouth and then, wait, but they leave the heads, right?
No, they...
Oh, the heads are gone.
The heads are gone.
Okay, it's a bear.
It's always a bear.
Podcast over. It's a bear. Okay. Thank you.
The other one, the other story. Well, so this... I'll stay with this bear for a second. So this bear, this wolf bear, was a prehistoric animal that lived up there way back in the day.
The woolly bear.
They have a name for it. I'm going to struggle with this name.
It's the mammoth bear.
They call it the Ampsynodi or the Wela. Wela?
Not, big bear.
Not words that we use, but they had a name for it, like an actual bear. Name. Another story of what it could be, and this one's easier to say, is called a Nuklak. They believe this to be a half-naked, hairy, club-wielding woman who happens to be a cannibal.
Okay. Also so, believable.
So they thought perhaps the Naha was like this group of women that just kept killing these men. Maybe it wasn't that they were invaders, or maybe that they weren't, that they were like looking for gold or in their space. They were just men. And that was the situation, that they didn't want men in there.
And they only eat brains.
Well,
they like mercury.
There's a lot of stories in northern Canada and the Yukon as well of cannibals, because in the winter there's no meat, there's no animals, so all you have is you and your brother, and one of you have to survive. There's actually a story of near Dawson City, if you back in the day when you're during the gold rush, you knew you got close to Dawson City when you saw the landslide in the mountain. And the First Nations people said that the landslide was caused deliberately to wipe out some of the cannibals that had settled there. So cannibalism wasn't out of the question, okay? There's also the theory that it is Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, Bigfoot.
There's even like a story called Bigfoot Took My Head, or Bigfoot Chopped Off My Head, or something like that. So yeah. It's part of the lore that Bigfoot's doing this too.
So Bigfoot,
yeah.
Hairy lady,
yeah.
Or wolf bear.
Yes.
Okay.
There's one more element to this that I'm going to talk about. I'm so sorry.
One more thing.
One more thing.
They found dynamite.
Not this time.
All right.
So it doesn't say, I want to say around 1945. I'm looking at my list here of all the people who got the head chopped off.
Oh my God. There was, what, they have like a name list?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just bad with names, but yeah, they have him here. So the two brothers were Frank and Willie McLeod. They never returned. They had Martin Yorzen, who died in 1917. They had John McBrien in 1922. They found him hunched over a pile of tinder with a matchbook in his hand.
Tinder!
As if he was frozen to death while trying to light a fire.
Yeesh.
Then there's Ernest Seyward, who was found dead in a sleeping bag in 1945, his head severed from his shoulders. There's also Bill Epler, Joe Millard, who simply vanished. Okay, so this names of these people, they're just not like a story. The RCMP have their names. These are cases that are unsolved in this park. So they're just like Joe Blow. Like, these are people that there's an actual, like, I don't know if they're still investigating, but like a case around these people.
Yeah, and it's based over like varying years.
From 1905 to 1945, including the Dene back in the day as well.
Yeah.
But the last kind of piece of this whole story, and I wrote down here around the same time, but I don't know when that was, probably 45. Okay. There was an unexplained plane crashes that kept happening in this mountain range. And they called this area of the range where these planes kept crashing funeral range.
Well, that's charming.
Which borders the ominous Hell's Gate Rapids. So they think, and this kind of goes along with the last video we had, that maybe it's aliens.
Oh my goodness.
Taking down these planes, living in this area. There's a lot of things here, right? A lot of people losing their head, a lot of stories, a lot of creatures, hauntings, ghosts, pale figures. What do you think is happening in this park?
A gigantic spider.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That wasn't on the list, but yeah. Okay, sure.
No,
that...
a praying mantis. Praying mantis ate the heads.
That's actually what they do. That's right.
A radioactive praying mantis that knows how to shoot out laser beams into the sky.
To take down the airplanes.
Take down the airplanes. There you go. Okay. Well. Obviously, like, last time my answer was bears. This time, my answer is bears. Oh my god. Okay, so the planes go down, right? They crash?
Yes.
Okay, so what other place where is there planes crash a lot? A famous place.
Bermuda Triangle?
Right.
Yeah?
Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
All right, yep.
It's
sure.
The Bermuda Triangle. It's in the shape of a bear. Triangle's just for, it's a pun.
Okay.
Bermuda Triangle is a special place by the Hell's Gate Rapids. Okay.
Okay.
Where planes go down,
yeah.
People walk, and bears eat the heads off of people and swallow them. They're Kodiak bears, and they also sometimes shave women.
Well, bears is probably one of the more realistic answers.
Bears, yeah.
Because the bears would have been there all this time, would have lived like... Could have lived in this valley, which was apparently beautiful and lush. You know, bears would be the only real logical answer. The other ones is, of course, it's a cannibal tribe living in the mountains.
Yes, that is true, too. That could totally be. Or what about if it's like a tribe that has tamed bears,
mm-hmm.
and the only way they can feed the bears is with heads?
Yeah.
Or it's Taylor, and that's where he's been for all these years.
He happened... after.
But when you're dealing with time.
Okay, yes. All right. Maybe he went 42 years back in time instead of 42 years in the future.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
That's what was the confusion.
The aliens didn't explain that part.
No. Aliens notoriously bad at explaining things.
Yeah. I think it's a tribe.
Okay.
Of people that haven't been, the Naha or perhaps another one, that just haven't been in contact yet. And they don't, because there's also that tribe in South America that does not want to contact people.
Right.
And they will, like, kill anyone that comes to them. And that's their whole thing. That's their shtick.
Hmm.
Is that they just kill any outsiders.
Especially a place like this place that has not really been fully explored.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
Plus, I was just watching The Hills Have Eyes 2, where the people are living in rocks underground.
Yeah. They could be living in the mountains in those tunnels.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm saying that's probably the most realistic, besides bears.
Right.
I don't say aliens this time.
No?
No. I'm not going to go with the...
But what explains the planes?
I don't know. I'm thinking...
Like just a coincidence?
Well, I haven't thought about it too much, but let's just kind of spitball some ideas. Like, I know... So the gold rush was a bust.
Okay.
Right. But the what they found instead, and it's still a big part of the economy of Yukon, is silver and ore.
Right.
So there's no reason why there couldn't be more like magnetic rock up in the mountains.
I see.
Messing with the plains system.
Yeah. They're, whatever that is. What is that? The one that tells you which way's up and which way's down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But like, also we have to look at this was in the 1940s or around there.
Right.
So they didn't have a lot of technology. They use their eyes more than the pods do now. But you know, something like that, if you're in like a misty area with clouds,
you're fucking boned.
Like they couldn't. When I was flying from Whitehorse to Dawson City,
mm-hmm.
The morning fog was so thick. They said we had a 5% chance of landing in Dawson City. And they say every other plane from which doesn't land in Dawson City in the fall and winter because of the fog.
So what do they mean by 5%?
Well, if they would get there, if they can't land, they'll just go to the next city.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Like,
I thought
like
you meant
crash.
Like we have a 5% chance, and the 95% is we die.
No.
Okay. Okay.
It was sorry. It's part of a circuit up.
I see. I see.
I think it goes. Whitehorse, Dawson City, Old Crow, Inuvik,
so
and then back.
So the first one is ideal, but if they can't, they skip it, go to the next one.
Yeah.
Till they can find a place to land.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I agreed. Because they told us to be a 5% chance, and it's like, other people are like, well, I don't want to go. Maybe I'll stay in Whitehorse, right? But I'm like, so if I don't get Thought City. I get to go to Anuvik? I get to go live there? That's sweet. Like, that's Arctic Ocean right there. Right?
Yeah.
So you bet I'll 5% chance of landing or 95% chance of getting to Anuvik? Yeah, I'll take that risk. Sure.
Yeah.
We end up landing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Good odds.
Yeah, well, you know, like, oh, great. I guess this is fine. This is where I wanted to be, but darn.
What I planned is working out. Oh.
So I'm thinking if they have such thick fog cover in Dawson City, why not have it in these other mountains too, in the Nahanni National Park? Now, they still have tours through the park, water rafting tours, and planes go through it. And I haven't heard of any recent incidents.
Yeah, you'd think you'd hear that for sure.
But the price is very expensive to do these things. Like, we're talking like $12,000 to go on this trip down the river. So I'm like, no thanks. I'll hike in, risk it otherwise.
Yeah, I guess that's, man, that's so much money. But you have to pay for like a guide, right? Or shit like that.
Yeah, the guide and probably the gas and equipment to get there. It's pretty remote still.
Yeah, right.
There's no answer. Just like last time.
You mean this unsolved mystery is unsolved?
Yes, it's unsolved.
What?
I'm going to go with an uncontacted tribe you're sticking with.
Bears.
Yeah. Okay.
Wolf bears.
Wolf bears.
Wolf bears.
It's easier to pronounce than the other names they had for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think this is one, like, the last episode we had, there was a speculation, at least from me, that it was going to conclude next year.
Right.
42 years after he vanished.
Right.
But I don't think this one's ever going to get concluded. No.
No way, especially when you're dealing with 10,000 years and stuff like that, right? Yeah. Like, you're dealing with vast spans of time where various things have happened.
How would you even investigate it? Like, where would you go? Into this country-sized park to maybe find a body?
Right.
Like, there's no, like, I guess you could set up, like, wildlife cameras, but if they get taken, there you go, right?
Right.
So I don't think this one will ever be solved.
You almost have to, like, put a camera on someone and say, like, go in there and try to get your head cut off. Oh, no, I'm lost in the forest. I hope I don't get my head cut off by a bear or a tribe or aliens.
Or Bigfoot.
No, it might be Bigfoot.
That'd be a pretty cool, like, live stream, though.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? This is Dylan Kenton. We're going to get our heads cut off. Woo! All right, guys, let us know in the comments what you think's going to happen. Dylan thinks we're going to get eaten by bears. Oh. Yeah, morbid live stream. Cool. This one was actually creepy as fuck. Like, as soon as you said the heads thing, actually creepy. Like, the big thing is when I see lots of this stuff, it's always in a different place. Yeah. It's not in Canada.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is in Canada, not relatively close, but close.
We share a border with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a long ass border.
It's pretty far away, yeah.
Like, I know the globe is a little skewed in how the size of Canada is, but still, knowing that it's in the same country, creepy as fuck.
And that it keeps happening. So that's our Halloween special, I guess.
Yeah. Spooky Halloween special. I am actually terrified to go into a park now. Like, I don't want to lose my head. Do you?
No. And like, I hiked Tombstone, another aptly terrified named park. I hiked Tombstone when I was in Yukon, and it's named not because of people dying,
right?
But because the mountains look like tombstones.
Cool.
And I could see it, you know, if you get out there, especially like if there wasn't a path, and you're just wandering. Yeah, sure. You could get lost,
dude.
Starve, die, and no one could find you. Actually, so before COVID, I was in Utah, and I was hiking Arches.
Cool,
and beautiful park. But I didn't plan my time right, because I was doing it. Actually, I was hiking there. I think it was March 1st. So like 2 weeks before everything kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And like in March, it still gets dark early, right? Like, not as early, but like, you know.
Especially when you're more south, too. But.
Yeah, you get a couple more hours a day. Like, but I didn't plan that right very good. And I started this hike to this beautiful main arch in Arches. And by the time I was halfway there, it was pitch black. And then I got there, couldn't see it, right? But my phone said you were at there, right? Because I had, like, the...
Oh, and you're like, oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, black, just pitch black.
And then you had to go back?
Yeah.
Dude.
And so I was hiking back, and like, there's no, like, there's a trail, but I can't see it, right? So I have my phone out. It's on like airplane mode because I have no service, but I have the map and I can kind of see where I am. And I noticed that the color changes on the map just ahead of me. So like, I walk and I shine my light, and it's a canyon. And I didn't know. And I, when I got home, I looked online and it said like 2 months before I was there, a couple had gone out to go get like sunrise photos of the arch, same arch I went to, and they walked into the canyon and fell and died. So like, this stuff happens in these parks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, does it? Does it? Oh my God. I'm going to go walk in the forest in the dark.
Nothing happens.
Oh, man. By the way, with your trip, what was your favorite part?
Of the Yukon?
Or, yeah.
Tombstone was really pretty.
Yeah.
I wish I had more time, but I actually really liked Dawson City.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 1,500 people, pretty small. It's not a city anymore because the Klondike Gold Rush is over, right?
Right.
But they have a lot of cool history there. But one of the things they did in my last day was the sourtail cocktail.
Yeah, you were saying that. Yeah, you were so stoked about the mummy, right?
It's just a frostbitten toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do they reuse the same toe?
Okay, so they have the original toe, right?
Okay.
The guy lost. So, okay, so two guys went out and one of them fell into a river, lake, whatever. His leg got in. They got him out, but he had frozen his leg. So to save his entire leg, they just chopped off his toe and put it in a jar of alcohol. And they put it in the back of the cabin. They put it on the shelf. And I don't know how or why, but they forgot about it when they left, right?
Yeah.
How do you just...
Yeah, oh, I forgot a piece of me here.
Like, you think every step would remind you you're missing something?
Especially, it's probably the littlest toe.
I think it's the big one.
What?
So later they the guy who organized it, called the captain, he found this jar of his toe and thought it'd be kind of cool to put this in a drink.
I would.
So he did this for a number of years. But, you know, every time someone drinks this toe or something, there's always a chance of them swallowing this toe.
Oh! Oh!
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So there's a fine if you end up putting it in your mouth instead of just on your lips. When the captain died, I believe the original captain died. There's a new captain now, but he's also quite old. The original captain died. He, in his will, donated all 10 of his toes to go to this. So now there's 11 toes in circulation. So you'll drink the glass with a toe in it.
Yeah.
Then the captain will take tongs and take out the toe, put it in like alcohol, and then take out a new toe for the next person. So it's not the same toe, but you know, they're in rotation.
Crazy. And is there anything to catch it, like, so it doesn't accidentally go down your throat?
You're just supposed to drink it. So because it's a toe, like, it's kind of sticks to the glass a little bit.
Okay.
So like, they have this orange drink, maybe some cider or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they put this toe in, and it plops it in, and it kind of like sticks to the bottom of the cup.
Yeah.
So then you drink it, and like all the drink comes out, but the toast, so think of it like ice in the glass, right?
Yeah.
And then it falls.
Think of it like ice.
And it hits here.
What about the remnants from the toe?
Like the toenail?
The material, the matter. Some matter must fall off.
Oh, yeah, sure. But so your toe and your fingers, like, you have the part you see, and then there's a lot more under your hand. Like,
yeah.
A very long bone. So these toes are pretty long.
Oh. Oh, you mean like the tarsals or the phalanges?
Yeah, I guess if that's what they're called in the foot. Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's a long toe.
I might have just named something in your ass. I don't know.
No, phalanges is definitely fingers. I don't know about toes.
Okay.
But it's like if you had a rock in your glass.
Mm.
It's like that.
Okay.
But it's a black toe with toenail.
Oh! And there's a fine if you drink it?
Yeah. So you have to agree. Like, there's like a waiver, right?
Yeah. No shit.
And at the end it says if you end up consuming the toe in your mouth, or you swallow it or whatever, it's a $2,500 fine. And I was talking to someone about this, like, why? Like, why the fine? Like, who's going to be psycho enough to eat a toe, right? Because, like, I think that is cannibalism, and that is illegal, right?
Right.
So even if it's kind of like...
Right.
This condition of toe?
You can't even eat yourself.
I didn't know that, but...
Yeah, you can't.
Okay.
Like, there was people that were saying, they were trying to get their friends to cut off pieces of them and cook it for them. And it's like, it's my own. And anyway, sorry.
Okay.
This went crazy.
That's okay.
So you did have the toe.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. And sorry, what was the drink? You said the orange?
Yeah, it was like an orange cider kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was asking about why this fine, right? Besides the obvious reasons. And I guess that this toe brings in like $40,000 a year in people, because you have to pay $8 to do it. And in the summer months, people line up around the block to do this toe.
Oh my God.
So like, if you lose a toe, like this is a big loss to the tourism industry and to the people and to the bar. So that's why there's a fine.
Whew.
I don't know how we got on the topic of that. Oh, wait, we're just talking.
I was just asking about your trip. That's nuts.
It was fun. Fun trip.
I probably would do it.
Oh yeah. Like you're there. Why not?
Yeah.
Someone stole it a couple years ago and there's they stole. I don't know how they stole the toe.
Cause did they put up posters saying reward for toe?
Well, it was like all over CBC Yukon, like this toe is missing, where's this guy, right? And he returned it like 2 days later. He's like, I'm so sorry, I didn't know, such a big deal. That was just a toe. He returned it.
That's nuts. I didn't know this toe was a big deal.
He was very apologetic about it. I think he let him go.
That's good.
Yeah,
everyone's nice up there, it looks like.
There's not many people, so
you have to be. If you piss someone off, it's like the one you pissed off, one of five people in your area.
Actually, they're saying like up there, internet isn't the best, right? Because so far up north, it's not even the best here, right? Sometimes in the winter, you know, there's no internet, so Interac would be down, and there's only two ATMs in the city. So if those are out of money, people need to buy groceries. They just have a tab at the grocery store as opposed to paying with cash within, and then pay them back later. Because it's such a small community that if anyone messes around, everyone knows.
Right.
Yeah.
That was cool.
We used to have wooden sidewalks here, and they still have them up there too.
Wooden sidewalks?
Yeah.
Cool.
Because up there, like, it's the permafrost. It's too hard to get through.
Right.
So then if they do put concrete down, it's just going to shatter and break because they're shifting earth. Right. So they use wooden sidewalks. Very cool. Very cool place.
That's cool.
Everyone had their head there.
And that's the moral of the story. Everyone had their head. Don't go exploring places that you're not supposed to, and you'll keep your head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bermuda Triangle.
God.
I'm going to make a shirt like that.
With like a bear's face?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I survived the Bermuda Triangle. But I'd have to go, or I'd have a lie on my chest. Awesome story, Kenton.
Thank you so much, Dylan. This is great.
You're doing great.
So thank you everyone for listening to episode 2, and for all your support in episode 1, please let us know your thoughts.
Yes.
Like, subscribe, share with everybody. Are we going to threaten them again this time?
No, but happy fucking Halloween!
Yes, happy Halloween. Thank you everyone again for your support. I'm excited to where this series will go. I'm sure we have lots of unsolved mysteries to talk about.
Yes, many.
Many. So until then, this is Kenton and Dylan from Unsolved Canadian Mysteries, and we'll see you next time.